Jolly Polly.
Where did we come up with it, Jansen?
We kind of just name our snap group.
No, I was about to say that's the other polyamorous thing.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Completely forgot.
The Jolly Pollys.
Not so nice.
So jolly.
Rape fantasy or rape fantasies? I got a lot to say about this. I'm worried.
I'm not. I'm excited. All right. So rape fantasy is something that I think is a really taboo subject for a lot of people. Like, I brought it up in the past when I first started getting interested in it. And one of the main reactions I would get from people was kind of like this look, like, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Like, what is your problem?
Like, which I kind of get, because I'm like, first off, you have to define when you mean rape fantasy. I think we all kind of agree that we know the term of fantasy. I think what it throws people for a trip is when you say rape. That's like, I have a murder fantasy. Okay. Understand what fantasy is. What the hell do you mean by murder? So what do you mean by rape fantasy when you say rape?
Well, I'm actually a rape survivor. So I'm a survivor of sexual violence. So it kind of is also another unique perspective, I think, too, because not all people that are into rape fantasy, of course, have had that experience. So you would think with that experience, or people usually do think, why would I want to relive that experience? Well, for me, it's not really the same experience, right? Well, let me tell you why that's right. And it's something I've never done. It's something I've thought a lot about. And I've kind of had elements of it in power play, but not like a full. So in my vision, what attracts me to it is the role-playing part of it. I love role-playing the bedroom. And then I love the idea of kind of scripting like a rape scene, a rape fantasy. And for me, it's not the same experience at all, because when that happened to me way back when, it was traumatic. I had no control. I fought back and I couldn't get control of the situation. It wasn't something that I wanted to happen. But when it becomes a fantasy, it becomes something that I control in the bedroom. I have this ultimate sexual power. So it's almost kind of like, in a way, me regaining and owning that power. So in that way, it can be, for a lot of people, very cathartic.
All right. So would you try to reenact what happened to you, or would you do something totally different?
Probably not to start. That's interesting that you bring that up. That never has even come to my mind, of reliving exactly what happened. I know that that's probably what some people would do, just so that they could kind of like revise the memory in their brain, sort of thing, to make it into this thing that they now control. It's never, the fantasies that I've kind of concocted in my brain so far have not mirrored that.
When I think of rape, I know like the definition, something like being forced to do some sexual activity against your will.
Right, against your will.
But is it rape when someone touches your breast? Is that rape or is that molestation?
I would say like that's probably like an assault, really, like molestation. So it's anytime somebody's touching your person without consent, that is an assault for sure.
So is it only rape? Penetration?
No, not necessarily. I mean, and it can be not necessarily, you know, with your penis penetration. It can be right. With somebody's fingers, sort of thing. Yeah. I think it all has to do with consent, for sure. That's kind of the thread between it all that really connects
it. Would force be like a big part of what the rape is?
Well, sometimes there's date rape, right, where you're drugged, and it feels, I guess, less forceful. For me, my experience was I literally tried to fight back, and this guy was outweighed me by 100 pounds, and it was just not going to happen. But there's been times, too, where I've had friends that have had something like slipped into their drink, mm-hmm. and maybe they're just more suggestible. So that is still rape too. The situation where they're not able to give consent. They're not able to be an equal consenting partner to it.
Right.
So this is the strange thing that hangs me up. When we talk about rape, it's synonymous with sex, but it should not be, in my opinion, because sex is sex. Rape is not sex. Rape is making you feel completely helpless. It's taking away all of your power, stripping you of everything. It's doing things against your will, and sex is involved, yes. But to me, rape is something totally different. So when someone says, I have a rape fantasy, all I hear is, oh, so you want me to make you feel helpless, punch you in the mouth, and you swallow a lot of blood. You can't get away from me. That's where I think that's the...
Like violent rape is like what's in... Like my mind as well, too.
Well, even if it's not rape. Violent rape, I would still assume rape is something you didn't want. So right. Even if someone was really gentle, it's still something you didn't want. So that's why I think we need to come up with a different word than rape, which is very complicated to come up with. Because rape does not mean just sex. Rape's a whole nother thing on its own about making you feel helpless. So I don't think when the majority, I'm sure there's people out there, if I were to say, oh, so you want to feel helpless? They would go, yes, I do. Oh, okay. Well,
joke's on you.
Yeah, joke's on you. That just doesn't work when you're here, right?
No, I get what she's saying, too, about, like, you know, kind of, like, scripting it out. Like, that's kind of a safe place, too.
Yeah, but it's like, not rape. It's not rape.
No, no, I understand.
No, it's not actual rape. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
So, it's not actually rape. That's why I do agree with you, Chris. Like, we should totally invent a new word for rape fantasy. That way it makes more sense. Because if I said that I had a rape fantasy, Oh gosh, the idea that I have a rape is nothing that I would ever want to be done to me.
I think when you dig into what people actually are talking about when they use the word rape fantasy, it has nothing to do with rape. It is like, yep. I want someone to take me when I least expect it. Okay, so you want constructed abduction, right? That's not rape. That's something that you've premeditated to do, but it's by surprise. But when you're thinking about rape, it's not some sexy guy or, you know, that's going to take you. It's someone that you're not wanting them to do. You're not wanting to do this person. They're forcibly doing it to you. You're not wet, so I'm sure it's really hurting, you know? There's a whole lot of problems with this word.
Yeah, well, actually, I know what you mean by the negative connotation for sure, and I think that playing around with it just to make it more palatable to people is definitely a good point. And I would say, too, it's not necessarily going to be an element of surprise. Like, for me, my rape fantasy might evolve into that. The first experiences that I would try would definitely be more of a role-playing thing where we already know it's about to happen. So mm-hmm. There's no, like, oh, big, like, surprise, like, come out from around the corner sort of thing. One point you made about, like, not getting wet during rape, the body can react, actually. So men get raped, too. And this is something where there's this huge stigma about, like, oh, well, a man says he was raped, he's lying, a man can't be raped. Men can absolutely be raped. They can reach a point of arousal against their will, and it's just their body reacting to that, for sure.
Sure. So I used to say the same thing, but then Jansen was like, you know, if you were tied up by some woman that you didn't want to have sex with, and she started playing with you, and you just got hard, and then she put a baby inside herself, you technically got raped, right? But it doesn't matter how, I guess, aroused you are. If a man rapes another man in his ass, you're not going to get any lubrication there, and that's going to be painful. So if I were to say I want a rape fantasy as a man, I'm not thinking about a woman. I'm thinking about a man raping me. That's not appealing to me. Even if I was a gay guy, it still wouldn't be appealing to me because I don't want to have sex with you, and you're forcing yourself in me. Mm-hmm. That does not sound fun to me.
I think it's more for me, like, about the power play, because, like, and you guys are into BDSM too. So you like the exchange of giving up power, and kind of the feeling of helplessness, of also feeling like you're giving away control and somebody else is controlling the experience. And for me, that's really what it's akin to. It's just kind of taking that in a very specific direction is kind of what I think about.
But you're still not helpless. So that's the main fundamental principle of rape, is you are helpless. So when you say, I want to have a rape fantasy and play this out, and I want to feel helpless, you can have a slight illusion of helplessness. But if you're a 7-year-old girl that's getting raped by her father, and you say that I have a rape fantasy, it's sexualizing this helpless child. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, and when I say rape fantasy, and I think when other people do too, there's the acknowledgement there within the word fantasy that this is something we're playing out. There is consent given. You know, some people even do contracts too in advance to make sure that communication is very abundantly clear. And there are safe words too, just like in power play. So what you would do is, you know, have your established safe word, which I think I've shared with you guys in the past, mine is panda bear, or whatever it is. You guys have a safe word too, I think, that you use during play, right?
Yeah, it's red.
Red, that's what, just okay,
like,
that's what.
There's nobody ever needs to say green. If you're saying green, then what are you doing? Okay. Like, keep going.
Yeah.
And then another thing too is, I can't remember what play style I was thinking of before, or maybe it was when I was talking to somebody about ball gags, is it's important too to have a hand signal as well. Yeah. Instead of just, especially if you're talking about rape fantasy where you might, you know, maybe have something over your mouth, a gag in. It's really important to have hand signals too, so that you're playing out this being overpowered thing, but you're not actually 100% overpowered. As we know well, the submissive has the power to ultimately end the experience and see how far it goes.
Right.
So explain to me, if you could, you've never had a rape fantasy fulfilled, have you?
No, not yet. No.
All right. So in your head, what does it look like that you would strive for it to be?
Well, you know, I'm going to actually steal from a conversation that I had with a really good friend not too long ago. And I just thought, first of all, her telling me that she had rape fantasy just, like, totally shocked me, because she's not one that I would ever have thought would have that in common with me. And I loved her story that she had made up. She should write erotic fiction or something. It was so good. So I'm totally going to steal this one day from her, because I thought it was so hot. So she imagined that she and her boyfriend would play out, that he was an Uber driver and she was on her way out to meet her friends. And then he pulls off the side of the road somewhere in, you know, kind of remote. And then all of a sudden this other car pulls up and he gets to the back seat, overpowers her, ties her up to, you know, where the little hook on the back near the ceiling. And she's wearing jeans and he gets really frustrated and angry with her because they're hard to take off. And then he and his Uber buddy friends, who have this little plot or whatever, take turns having their way with her. And I thought that was so hot. This could all be men that she knew well and trusted and agreed to in advance and well established. But you could play out this whole scene of, like, a real life situation. Now, that's not at all to be insensitive to somebody who actually has gone through that. I mean, I've been through that myself. So I know what it is to go through that experience and have to survive from that trauma. It's horrible. You know, in this situation where it is all fantasy, this is just role playing. To me, I hear a story like that. And then I think of other things like that too. As I said before, you're kind of scripting where the thing is going. So maybe you've done contracts, who is going to be a participating part, what the boundaries are, what's not okay. You have your established safe words and signals, and then you can have this full experience that you could end at any time with people you know and trust. And it's like you're kind of living out this movie.
Yeah, right. I totally get it.
That's what I was saying. You said movie. That's a really great way to put it, because I could totally get that. That's almost like using the word fantasy for any version or any type of sex that you want to have, you know, when it's in your mind to script it out, or, you know, just the excitement too. You don't know what's going to happen. If you are into any type of, you know, rough play, then yeah, that would be I could understand definitely where that would be something that you'd be interested in trying for sure.
One thing too to bring up, especially if you have been through past traumas, or if even if it's not sexual violence, maybe you were with a partner physically abusive, which unfortunately I have a relationship that was very briefly like that, but I have friends who have been through those relationships. So it's really important to have these preparation conversations about what your triggers are, because I like talking dirty, I like talking nasty, especially with my power play experience. I talk mean to me. I love it. For some people, there's certain things that are triggers that they're not quite ready to and prepared to be introduced into part of play. It's important to kind of be in tune and think about what your triggers are and to communicate those in advance so that it doesn't become part of this improv scenario.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I could see where it would be therapeutic. I've heard people that, you know, their spouse, their ex-wife or ex-husband or something, you know, has cheated on them, their new partner. They have done a role play scenario to where the person that was cheated on got closure from it, from being able to script it in a way that it made them, I guess,
view it differently.
View it differently or have some power. I get that. I guess it's just it's my hang up with the rape thing. Just the rape word, period. It's just my hang up with it. It's not that I'm like against it. It's just everything that you said your friend said about the Uber driver and all that stuff, that is just, it's a role play. I get that. I totally get why she would want to do that. But when we, as us three people right here sitting now, call it rape fantasy, to me, it sounds so disrespectful to people that did not ask for that. And we are trying to sexualize their helplessness. What she has just said is she's not wanting to feel help. She's not helpless. In the back of the car with her boyfriend and his friends, she's not helpless. So it's just, to me, it's just disrespectful. And that's what I was saying. It was making me sick to my stomach when I was reading all this. I was like,
As a rape survivor, I actually really appreciate the empathy that you have there and how thoughtful you are. That's why I think we should definitely talk about these things very carefully and really fully explain ourselves. But you're right. For me, from my perspective, it really is just a type of role playing, which is something that I'm very into and I love as part of my play. There are some people that go on apps. Like, I think one of them is Whisper, where they will say, hey, I'll be at the park at 2 p.m., come rape me. To me, that's a very other extreme end of the spectrum. And as long as they're consenting adults, I feel like can't really...
That's another level. That's a
it
whole
is.
Level.
It is. I mean, they're consenting, but still...
That. Love to talk to somebody that was like, yeah, I'm totally down to not know what's going to happen or what this person's, you know, about, or what, how they are, how they're going to treat me, what they want to do to me. Whoever, I would love to talk to somebody like that. That opened my eyes up big time to another fantasy, I guess.
You're referring to the article too, that we, right. Yeah, that's the so supposedly the woman said that, and this guy showed up. Luckily, he's screenshot and saved all the conversations they had. He got there, and I'm not sure exactly the full story, because all it was just the article. But she called the cops on the guy.
She was like, no, taxis.
Yeah, they were about to arrest the guy.
Yeah, we don't know the full story for sure. And that's one of those things too, where she's just meeting this guy. So even if maybe she had set that up, what if she had tried to stop the situation and he wouldn't let it stop? Then that is rape, right? So it's really important to, obviously, it's really important to, when you're considering situations like that, or maybe like playing with somebody that you just met, maybe having a more quick to move sort of thing, which is fine, again, if you're all consenting and you get to decide what happens to your own body. But these are risks you take by making yourself so vulnerable so quickly, especially in this extreme way to somebody you don't know.
Do you think, like, we talk about, like, the rape fantasy and, like, all the different, like, levels of that, but I wonder, like, it doesn't get talked about very often about the raper fantasy. So the thing we're just talking about right now, this girl was like, yes, I'm going to be at the park. You know, whoever wants to rape me, I'm totally down for a good raping. The guy or girl, whoever it is going to be doing the raping, that's their kink, right?
So you're talking about the raper, not the rapey. We always, everybody, society always talks about the rapey with the fantasy. But
I want to know, I'm curious about the one About the person is like, oh, heck yeah. Like,
I want to rape somebody.
I'm in the mood for some good raping. I want to go rape somebody, you know, or like, and then they're like, I'm going
to go raping.
I'm going to rape that girl, you know, better than she's ever been raped before, you know, type of thing in your mind, the mindset of someone that wants to. If so, if we're going to play that game, I'm going to need to know what your definition is, sir, of raping, because there's that's a big word. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, which is to me, like, a big part of the reason why I would only ever consider doing it with somebody that I have a really established connection with, trust. I mean, even with BDSM, like, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have come up to me and girls like, ooh, you like BDSM, and they start trying to enter that world with me, like, within 5 minutes of meeting. I'm like, absolutely not. No. I need to develop a lot of trust, because I'm a controlling person. Like, that's just flat out the truth. I'm a control freak. But, like, so to give up that control, I gotta be good with you.
Absolutely. Because, you know, we dabble with different versions of BDSM ourselves. And I bet there's only been one scenario that we've been in, a strange girl, actually, like, in the middle of a club. Like, she, I guess, was aware of what Chris and I were, you know, about, took it upon herself to claw my back, you know, and that was her deal. Like, I guess that was, I don't know, I guess of her, you know, people want to bite, people want to spank, people want to scrape and scratch and do their thing.
This is a stranger, but that was a passerby.
A passerby. But I'm only bringing that up because, like, well, what I see and what turns me on about BDSM or, you know, a planned raping scenario is going to be completely different than what someone else has. So, like she was saying, like, contracts and different things.
I have a bone to pick with people that, quote, claim they're doms, you know, and I can do it with anyone, blah, 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 blah. I just don't see that, because I know how to be a dominant with Jansen, but that does not mean that I know how to be a dominant with you or anyone else. I have to learn what you like, you don't like, to be able to navigate those waters. Mm-hmm. It's not one size fits all.
I totally agree. Yeah. When I hear, what is a true dom, true sub? Well, that's pretty subjective, because when it comes to BDSM, when it comes to the play that's kind of in kink similar to that, there's just so many different roads you can go down on. There's even, what is it called, where there's like needle play, where people will stick needles in their skin, all the way to just a soft touch. There's those whips that are, like, to me, it's almost kind of irritating because it's too soft. Just keep that falcon feather away from me.
Yeah.
I can't stand it. It's too soft. So you say BDSM, it's like, oh yeah, we're in the same club. Well, not necessarily.
Not really. Maybe not.
Even with rape fantasy too, it's like, you're not every rape fantasy is going to be the same. It's going to go in all these different directions. And so it's really, I think, important to take the time to get to know what the heck each other is all about. And you just can't go from like 0 to 60 like that.
I think it would be really interesting interviewing someone that had a true, true rape fantasy, to where I said, oh, so, okay, you want to be helpless? And this person, like, says yes. And I said, oh, okay, you want to be punched in the mouth? Yes. You want an STD? Yes. All right, I'm interested. We got to talk. You know, that would be very interesting to have a conversation with someone like that.
I would like to, or the, having an interview with somebody that really just didn't have a lot of limits.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I can't think of anything that I'd be opposed to. Like, just don't kill me. But other than that, like, let's just go at it.
You're above my pay grade. I can't. There's no way I could. Like, I don't know what I would do. I can't get that. I don't know how to dom you or whatever.
I think there's plenty of people out there that'd be like, oh, hell yeah.
Well, there's some people that are really impulsive, like, have like almost an impulsivity fetish, where it's like, we're in the grocery store checking out, like, hey dude, hey chick, like, let's go in the bathroom, and then like, no condom sex. Like, there's just people that are very that just does it for them. So yeah, I mean, it's there's all types out there for sure. As long as everyone's consenting, though, I just really feel like I can't judge. But then again, you have so many other things to worry about: the emotional element, the health risk element.
Do you think being tied up in the back of a car, right, and having multiple men go at you, and you know these men psychologically, do you think it's something that it's like a desire fantasy that so many men will break the law and they just cannot hold, they can't stop themselves from ravishing you? Do you think that is the intrigue?
Definitely one of the elements for a lot of people that are interested in rape fantasy is that you are the object. And even in a gangbang situation, you are the object of desire.
Center of attention.
Absolutely.
So this is why it mirrors rape in one way, right? So it's not just the helplessness. It's the idea that this person wants you so bad, they cannot stop themselves.
Exactly. And they want to make the most of the time that they have with you. And so it's just kind of like this fire hose of passion is kind of the idea.
So if you girls were a raper, what do you think would intrigue you about doing? Because I'm assuming you've only thought about being the victim in these scenarios.
Oh no, I've actually thought of, I haven't done it yet. Cause it's one of those things where you really have to have a rapport with somebody and they have to want it too.
You can't.
Gonna be like, hey, can I go rape you?
I know you're next. You need a good raping.
I know you're next in line with your bread, but after
you've done 10 minutes ago. So I'm a switch, as I've shared with you guys in the past, and I will have moments where I primarily a sub, but there's moments where I just kind of have this dominant desire just like kind of come out of me. So I've definitely had the reverse fantasies too, and with a consenting partner where we're acting it out with a man or a woman, really. There's a boyfriend in the past that, God bless him, he did let me tie him up and he did not enjoy a single minute of it. But that's kind of, you know, a little bit about what that is that, you know, I was tying him up and taking advantage of him sort of thing.
I guess, I really haven't, this is a great question, Chris. I don't know. I don't think that I have ever really thought about being the raper. My fear is, as long as I can ever think back, you know, is being raped is my fear, you know, or whatever's on my mind. Like it's never me doing the raping, but I don't know. Like, I don't even think I would know. I mean, I consider myself a bit of a switch, as far as rape or rape fantasy. Now, I guess I was approached, like if you came to me and was like, I really want you to rape me, and you gave me some details of whatever you thought, yeah, I could totally get into character and handle that. But as far for me, as a kink for me, or something I'm going to get off doing, I don't know if I've ever thought about it.
How would what's the contrast difference between when you think about, God, I hate saying rape. So everything in my
being. Trying to think icky. We're talking fantasy here.
I'm trying. I'm doing my best. So what is the contrast between the man and the woman different in your scenario? So when you say you thought about raping a man and raping a woman, what's the difference in your head?
When I think about it, it's definitely kind of the same energy for sure. When I'm dominant with a man though, my real like dominant side comes out. And it's again, it's just like touches here and there. Just kind of more of this fiery, like fuck you kind of energy that I have with a man. With a woman, it's more like nurturing for some reason.
Which reflects how I am with women.
Violence actually is not something in terms of, you refer to punching and slapping. Violence really isn't part of play for me. Impact play, like a paddle or smacking in the butt, maybe a little slap to the face. I don't, as a dominant energy, I don't tend to bring that out except for like maybe a smack on the butt sort of thing.
That's what I'm trying to unpack the box of how you would go about a man versus a woman. Because what you just said was a woman, it would be nurturing. And for a man, it's more like fuck you. So it would be more like a force over a man, but yet a seduction over a woman.
Exactly.
All right. So with the man, what's the scenario? So you drug him and tie him up? Because I'm assuming. I mean, fuck you guys. It's not going to be
so
like
extreme.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to unpack the box.
I just
box.
Wish I could be inside your brain right now.
You
I'm
don't
just
want
going
to be,
like,
man. It's so
I can just hear
it's
like
so
a machine
weird.
Gun in there.
Well, I'm just thinking you have two.
Flying everywhere.
I'm thinking with a man, you have two scenarios. You have one man that's extremely timid, right? Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't think you'd be very forceful with this guy. Maybe. I don't know. And this other guy is a douchebag that you're wanting to rape.
So the two energies versus each other?
Yeah. So how would you go about that? So which guy in your head are you trying to rape? Is it the timid guy that you're going after? Or is it the guy that's kind of like the alpha? Say it's the alpha male, whatever. The alpha male or the beta male that you're trying to?
I guess if I'm going to do it, I'm raping the alpha.
That's why I'm with you. No, that's exactly my answer.
Okay. Yeah. In that scenario, how are you going to do this?
My goal of raping that, I just totally just overspoke. You go. You tell me.
I don't know. I guess I'd have to really script it out. I have to guy take a pen or some stab you or something like that, and then use like a weapon, I guess, or I don't know, some sort of blackmail or something.
But this is the alpha. She may.
I wouldn't actually be violent. It's part of the game.
I think it would be hot in a scenario. Oh, see, I just went dark. Hang on. Let me reel it back in a little bit. So let's say we've planned this whole rape, you and I, and we're going to rape alpha male. Let's rape him together, okay?
Let's do it.
We're going to do it together. And the whole thought in my mind would be like, you said nurturing. You could do it in a scenario of where like he had no clue that this was going to happen or that we were going to take advantage of him. And so if you kind of manipulated the situation, I guess in my mind, it would be that this alpha male doesn't have a clue what's fixing to happen to him. And once we've gotten him kind of hemmed up, like, you know, in a relaxing situation, I think it would be hot to be able to transition his anger and his fear of what was happening, or embarrassment even, that he was just getting, you know, raped or dommed by like two women that he did not see it coming. But by like the middle to the end of the whole rape, that he's like, I guess I'm not an alpha anymore. I just got completely subbed by these girls. Does that make sense? Like making him like the situation, or making him relax, you know, give the power back?
If your ego is primed that way, I don't think I'm that way. I wouldn't view myself as a less man because I got raped by a woman.
How would you be confused though?
That's probably as far as I could say, because I don't know any otherwise. I would say that this evening began one way, and then as it went on, we all three were in the bed, and then I got tied up.
Well, I wasn't thinking of you though. I wasn't thinking of you as the alpha male in this scenario, because I know you well enough to know that you'd be like, oh, stop, like, don't stop, ladies. Oh. please don't do that, you know, while you're assisting. So I'm not talking about you.
Please don't use this
rope.
Yeah,
please don't suck it like that.
This one, please don't use that one.
So you're not in this scenario. It would have to be someone that didn't see it coming or that, like, didn't want it to happen.
Well, I mean, but still.
You're consenting. You can't consent in this scenario, Alpha Boy.
You can still play the part for sure. And how I would probably want that as the sub-dominant in me, I took charge right now, but now I want you to take charge again.
Right. I'm done with the charge, and now you do it.
This is why.
Okay, thanks for my 5 minutes.
I just don't see it as a rape because I don't.
It would have to be violent, I guess.
The only way that I could see it that way is if you guys tied me up to make me put a baby in you.
Made you give us.
Yeah, then I'm helpless, and I have no control over that. Otherwise, I would only assume that this quote alpha, right, would be like, I got these two chicks doing whatever they want to me. They just rammed a flashlight up my ass, but it was cool.
I don't know.
It was cool. Light came out of my eyes.
Right?
Very cool.
That's why I was wondering, like, how you would do it, because it just doesn't seem like how you would go about the woman would be different than the man. But then when you go to the man, it's either the timid beta male or the alpha male. These got to be two different things. If I was a raper, I would have my own lubrication. Because as a raper, I would not want to insert my penis into a woman that's super dry either. I would like it to feel good. That's where I wonder if it's even about, is it really all about sex or is it about power?
Have you ever heard of arousal non-concordant?
No.
That's a thing that not really understood from what I understand. Have you ever noticed, like, you...
Is it like your body makes responses?
Yeah.
Just from stimuli?
Pretty much. Okay. So, like, if you're having sex, and it's not that you're not really in the mood, but you're totally okay with having sex, but you're not as lubed,
not,
or you're not
you're
as
not
horny.
Feeling it. Yeah, you're not, really. You're not gonna...
But within a little bit of time, your body just starts taking over. Or something I had read before, you know, is just certain words can get someone aroused. They're not. They weren't horny. They weren't aroused before the word was said, or before, like, moist or whole or whatever, heart. Just different things that would trigger somebody.
So they're
aroused without even being aware.
I would not feel comfortable saying that that was a blanketed thing for all people.
I don't.
So if you have a grown man rape a six-year-old, I wouldn't say that just because, you know, this...
No,
that's
the
study says that you would get, you know, lubricated.
No, that's not what I was saying. I'm not saying, definitely not talking about a kid. That's not what I'm talking about.
Well, even so, a full-grown woman. Right. I just don't see how you could blanket a statement like that with everyone.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that that's what I was doing. I'm just saying that there is a thing that...
Sure, okay,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
sure.
So I'm saying, I'm still back in the scenario of me getting raped. And if it was, you're talking about being dry and how terrible it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I would try my very best to not be dry. You know what I mean? Like, I'd be trying my best to get my head in a way that it wouldn't be just completely torturous.
So I was miserable and married for quite a while. Part of me had this weird feeling like, we have to have at least sex once a month. Otherwise, that means I'm a bad wife. And I hated it because we weren't in love. So I was not into it when this would happen at all. I didn't get aroused. I didn't reach orgasm. Mm-hmm. But like that concordance thing you said, after a minute or so, my body would know you're being penetrated right now. It's time to produce lubricant. Right. And it would. If a man is raped, for example, sometimes if he's on the receiving end, he'll get an erection. Like if a man rapes another man and he's not into it, he's not gay, but his prostate gland is being manipulated during that. Sure. And his body will just react in this way that he is not thinking about, he's not putting effort into. It might even have a full release, and he's, even though he's not into that situation at all, body's just naturally, without us putting effort, thought, and intention into it, will react and respond, even sexually.
I'm not sure why I would even brought that up, but yeah, it's a whole thing.
So let's take a quick break, and then we're gonna come right back.
Yep.
All right, sounds good.
So what would you say, Jan, is your minus, let's just deduct the helplessness from the rape fantasy thing here, because that's pretty much what consists of rape. So if you deducted that, what would be your fantasy idea of what you would like?
Yeah, I think there's several scenarios that I would be down with, as far as, like she was saying, like kind of like making it a movie, like having a whole scene, having it all planned out, having, you know, not really knowing what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess really the thing that starts messing with me is, are you going to try to kill me? You know, are you going to hurt me, or, you know, leave me for dead? And when you take all of those horrific thoughts out, I feel like I can kind of get a little bit more on board with, like, the force, or the being held down, or the being tied up, or things like that, especially if I'm going to be just a scene. So,
all right. So are you ready for us to unveil what we have done?
We've done experiments.
So ours, we took a little creepy. We did something. It was a rape. rape type thing to where I broke into the house. She was alone. Our child was here, right? And my whole idea was that if you fight me off, I'm going to hurt your child. So that made her get into a mindset of, I don't even know. What the hell? Explain to me.
I don't know, but like saying it out loud, it sounds just terrible. But it wasn't. It wasn't terrible. It was really kind of neat and educational for me because we had sat down and kind of talked about like some hard lines and then some things that I think would be very, that would motivate me to get my mind set into a way to be able to deal with it, I guess, or what would be a fantasy or hot.
Yeah, because it's like, if you move, I'll punch you in the face. Okay, well, maybe you'll knock me out and I won't have to deal with this.
Right.
That's not what we're doing. I need something more for you.
Yeah,
you know?
In my mind, I guess this guy was going to break in, he was going to rape me, and then he was going to leave. And so in my mind, having the thought of whenever he brought up having the child still in the house, I was like, okay, well, that puts me in the mindset of this guy can't leave my room.
Yeah.
So I have to make sure he stays here.
Yeah.
Well, and that adds the element of tension too, of like there's something at stake that's so precious and life.
Then that to me was that was pretty interesting. It leveled it up. So
this is where the area of you can push your boundaries.
Yes.
So she has an incentive to
keep him there, and
I also have to show the respect of, you know, I can't just take a flashlight and jam it up her ass, right? You can't do that.
You can't do it.
But there is a boundary pusher, and there's an incentive to allow the boundary to be pushed. So it is a little fine line you have to walk. So it is kind of interesting. I totally get it. I just, like I said, I don't like the right word.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't feel helpless because you could stop it at any moment.
No, but I think it was this neat mental training. You know, when you talk about different types of sex and different headspaces and different, I don't know, if you like going to different places
it's
in your mind.
It's a different movie. Yeah. It's a different movie.
So for me, whenever we're trying to play that way or play that role, it's really neat because then it is a character I get into. You know, I can get into a character or be someone totally different or, you know, and then the good thing about it is you can do it however many times you want. And if you don't handle it the way that you thought or you handle it in the way you didn't think, like there were things that happened. I had enough time to actually get my mind in the zone of what we were fixing to do. But I didn't know exactly when he was going to come in the room. I didn't know exactly how he was going to be. So I was sitting around trying to like get my headspace. That was the advantage I had in the scenario is that, you know,
I was outside watching through the winter for like 20 minutes. She's
so
probably like,
really
all right,
know.
Did he forget?
No, you could have probably came in a little sooner. I almost fell asleep. No, I'm just kidding. No. But at the same time, it was kind of interesting kind of see because in my mind, you know, if you think about rape, you think, like you said, I mean, you try to fight as much as you can, but the guy had so much weight on you, you're kind of like, okay, I can't fight anymore. Like, that's not going to work. That angle isn't going to work. You know, so I thought about that too, and I would never want to be, I know you're not going to hit me or punch me or, you know, knock me out. So I guess it was like, I didn't have that intense fear, but in the character, I was building a story that I didn't know what you were going to do.
Yeah.
I didn't know how, you know, crazy or loud you were going to be or anything like that. I was just trying to stay in the zone of this crazy guy. Don't leave the room. Like, let me just make him happy and here we go. But it was pretty hot. It was pretty neat. But
yeah,
it was
hot.
But I was still safe, you know. But
I was wondering, you were quiet over there. I thought you were like
no, I was soaking it all in. I was visioning it in my head. I was there. I was lying on the wall.
Yeah. And I did notice like there were certain things, like because I was able to get into the character so deeply in my mind throughout the whole thing, I was thinking of it as force. He was taking this. He was doing this no matter what against my will. So like there were a few things that happened kind of naturally that I was kind of impressed by. You know, I kept noticing. I wouldn't look at him. I didn't want to look at him. I didn't want to, you know, I kept my eyes closed. It may be kind of weird, but like that's how deeply in the character I was getting myself.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. Like I liked the
there was times where I changed it up to where I told her, you know, if she made a sound, you know, I would harm her daughter. So she wouldn't make a peep. So I would push her back.
Oh God. I love that. I love when I'm forced to act in certain ways. Like when
that's
like
when it was acting. When she got to a point to where, you know, she kind of got that down, I switched the roles and I said that you better make me feel like you enjoy this or I'm going to hurt you.
And
then she had to change
really
the whole
awesome
thing up again.
Transition. Totally flipped the role. And then I had to figure out a way to get into the, you know, get in that role. It was pretty cool.
That's amazing. I love that. Yeah, that was one of my first, don't make a single sound or don't breathe. Hold your breath. I don't have hands around my neck, hand over my mouth. I have to just hold my breath. These acts of proving in power play. I just love that. One thing I really struggled with at first during power play was looking at my dom's eyes, and he noticed that. And so then he made me do it, and it was so hard. And it was just, there's something about having to prove myself. So you mentioned like looking away and little kind of nuances people don't think about.
Boundary pushing.
Yeah.
Things that I accidentally realized that I like, you know, just like how far can you be pushed? Where can you level up? Or what, you know, what kind of scenarios can you put yourself in that you can actually, you know, do pretty well?
This is why I said it's hard to be a dom with just everybody, because what I do to her may not work on someone else. So you have to know you have to know the submissive that you're messing with, because some other person may not have children. So what I say to them may not matter, and vice versa. There's a lot to learn with that.
Oh, absolutely. And then also too, knowing what you're dealing with in advance is so important, because what if you get a biter? Like I've heard some nasty biter stories. Some people are into biting in an extreme, like drawing blood kind of way. Talking about these things, really getting deep into it. It's fun to talk about, first of all. I enjoy it. I enjoy like hearing about other people's experiences and kind of the exciting things or the things that they find exciting. And then it just kind of built up to that. I mean, but that's the sapiosexual in me that likes to just talk about sex.
That was something that we noticed as we were talking about it last night, because the rabbit hole got just deeper and deeper for me, because I was starting to make notes about it, because just like it was interesting for me to find out what your rape fantasy actually was. What does that mean to you? Because I know what that means to me, you know? And so that's why I was like having to kind of like dig into it.
Yeah. Are we talking about the same thing? Because what
might be a hard line for me may not be for her, you know, and flip it around. But it's even like when Chris and I were talking about, you know, what we were going to do. All right, we're gonna try this, and then it came over me. I was like, well, you kind of need to know again if you're the raper and you have the fantasy of doing the raping. Is your fantasy someone that's gonna fight you back, so that you have to hold them down? That the struggle is what's so intense to you. And same for the one being raped. I can understand. I can see where some women that have a rape fantasy would love the struggle.
Yeah,
would love that. Yeah. But I could not play that game with Chris, because I'm not gonna claw his eyes out. I'm not gonna bite his dick off. You know what I mean? Like, or try to. You know what I mean? Like, how?
Game over.
So like how crazy are we gonna get here? Because I know if I'm if he came to me and he was like, listen, Jan, here's the deal. I really want you to fight me, give me everything you got, I'm gonna be like, dude, you're gonna be effed up tomorrow.
Yeah,
you're gonna have claw marks out, your hair's gonna be pulled out, you're gonna have bruises.
Yeah, that's
so we have to figure out where, you know, where kind of we're at there.
That's not my
we drew a line there, by the way.
That's not my kink, because I view that as a nuisance. If I'm going to rape you, I don't want to have to deal with you trying to fight me.
Right.
That's why I tried to find something that was incentivizing you. It's not
a psychological aspect, a little element of that.
Because you start clawing me in the face and trying to rip my eyes out, that's a whole different thing.
Well, now I know, though, now that you guys have described your fighting back techniques, never to get in a physical altercation with either one of you, because y'all are dirty.
We go a little crazy real quick.
I'll hunt your mom down and key your car.
We're going to key all your family members' cars. No.
Scratch and invite. But I mean, hey, if you're getting into character, you need to get into full character. So I certainly understand that. And that's a big part of why, like, scripting ahead of time, I think, is a good idea, especially as you're starting out, maybe building trust, especially because when you're playing a character and you're improvising it, so you're just kind of doing it as it comes, then you don't necessarily know where that character is going to lead. So once you have a rapport with that side of another person, I think you can probably explore a little bit more freely into rape fantasy. But I think scripting it in advance for anyone that's considering doing it is a really great place to start. We'll be sure to leave in the show details a link to contracts if people want to look into contracts ahead of time. That's probably a really good idea on that, for sure.
It can't hurt, but I would make a caveat that it's not a guarantee, because even with a contract, if you signed it before and you got through it and something happened, that, you know, whether it was in the contract or not, you still may have changed your mind, and now you can actually be looking at an actual rape.
I agree with you. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know any of this. There's a couple that I was looking at, and they're extremely specific. I don't know. Like, it seems like if you and I were sitting down, strangers or not, and we were looking at this contract, and it said all of these things, all of these details, you're okay with all of this stuff, and any of these things happened to you, and that's what made you say that this was no longer okay and it was rape.
How does that work? So in the litigation world, this is how it works. If I write a contract for both of you girls, okay, if I say it's okay for you to rob a bank on Thursday, we all sign it, get it notarized, does it mean it's legal for you to rob a bank?
No, because that's illegal.
Right. So some of the stuff that you have in this could be viewed as domestic violence.
But even if I said, I want you to punch me and knock me out.
There's like a huge coalition right now trying to get this thing passed. It's like a BDSM consent issue. That, like, if you're at work and you have bruises, someone else can call and say that your spouse is beating you and stuff like that. And you're like, no, it's consensual. And it's
still safe, though. I'd still shoot for doing it.
I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying. I wouldn't make it a 100% okay thing. You know, just because I have this contract means I'm good to go.
I'm actually going to be interviewing at the end of the month a gal who is the spokesperson for the National Coalition for Sexual Freedom. And so I'll be sure and ask her about that. Because, you know, BDSM was on the, what is it called? The DSM-5. And that they were a big part of getting that organization, a big part of getting that removed from it, so that it's no longer like a psychological disorder.
There's still weird laws on the books about you can't have, you know, sodomy is illegal in some
states. Blowjobs are illegal in some states, right?
Yeah. So what's on the books,
how's
man?
How's that working out for them?
View your state's statutes.
I'm going to get arrested in Tennessee.
Let's go break the law.
You've been judged for BDSM photos?
Okay, so I think you had said something when we were chatting earlier about, you know, your rape fantasy and how, you know, you're into BDSM. And I get that because I am as well. But for some reason, it was like a trigger for me to compare the two or even say the two in the same sentence, because it's something I have fought for a while with people that I know very close to me that judged me pretty hard whenever they saw some of my boudoir pictures, some of my BDSM photos. I had a person that's pretty close to me see a picture of me and my legs are tied up. Just my legs. I'm probably even smiling in the picture. It wasn't a scary picture at all. It was a pretty elegant picture. The immediate response to that was that promoted rape. That was something that I was like, man, there is a lot of, I don't know. Stigma. I was basically like, where do we start?
Yeah, that's all stigma though. Like that's just her, like that's her making assumptions, her having this view of BDSM that's based on a lack of information, lack of knowledge, lack of awareness. For my listenership, I'm super grateful. I've got a good portion of my listenership are not members of sex minority groups.
Right.
Like people that are into kink, but they just want to learn. And they couldn't, I think that's so beautiful. And if more people would just do that, learn and understand, it's this thing where that's where we can at the grassroots really attack stigmas like that. And I think your photos are amazing. They're all beautiful and gorgeous. But I can certainly think back in times of my life where I may have had, even though I was drawn to it, like an aversion to, or like a conscious trying to be like, no, I don't want that because that's bad. When I would see,
absolutely. Like it's like image association, like before, like, you know, if you just reverse back into 10 years ago, even before I had a clear understanding of what BDSM, like I didn't know what any of the letters stood for. I just immediately saw BDSM and thought of someone with a mask, a ball gag, stilettos, leather and ropes, and maybe like a cattle prod like that. That's what that is. No doubt about it. That's not what it is though. That is not what all that means. And so I'm going to associate that with fear and scare, it being scary and all these other things. That the people that I'm mentioning, like during, like talking about my pictures of just me being tied up, which like the photographer was the one who even did it. So I like trying to explain, like, this is not a scary situation. And of course I would never promote rape. That's insane. Like, why would you even say the word rape when you see?
Well, I think from their reality, especially if you're uber religious, you're primed in that avenue to see something like that, to say that it promotes men to scratch their itch more where it comes to that.
Or that it's okay when they see people taking pictures like that, they would think that it was giving it approval of some sort. It's a very close-minded way to think, but nevertheless, people do it.
Whereas what the reality is that women like you and I, we don't let just any man come up and touch us. Quite the opposite. We have to want for it. We have to communicate that. And should any man ever come up to me and try to, or woman, because women have done this too. Like if I go to a party and it's like-minded people, maybe they've had too much to drink, or maybe they're kind of new to the social circle, so they're not new to the norms. And so they don't really know how to behave. Yeah. Right. Maybe, and that's just something that people have to learn. And they're excited in the moment. And we're all wearing sexy costumes. And so maybe I've had this happen a lot, where not a lot, but a few times where somebody's come up to me and maybe it's been one of those aforementioned situations and they put their hands on me and I immediately say, nope, you don't touch me. I don't know you. Like I have to be okay with that. I have to say that it's okay. So it's really quite the opposite. I mean, there's this assumption like, oh, you're just adding to more perversion in the world. Listen, there's always been this darker side of human nature and there always will be, but it's really, I think, quite empowering and quite transformational for us to have people embracing, women embracing their sexuality, taking command, so that in situations we can be more directors and we can set the right example for others. Because I think of, in that same given situation, women who are maybe quote unquote vanilla or muggle, as some lifestylers will call people not into sex minority groups like them, not into ethical non-monogamy. Would a woman in that same situation respond that same way with the same command, with the same boundary communication? Probably not. Like I think back to me 5-10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have handled that situation with as much confidence as I do now.
Sure.
And I also think that people with the reality that we've been doing this so long that I'm aware that I'm desensitized to things to where used to 10, 15 years ago, I would not have been. So I've been desensitized so much that when I hear people say that, it's foreign for me now, present time. But thinking about it, where they're coming from could be one of those places that they feel like you are condoning rape.
I feel like it's absolutely that they're coming from a place of just of not being educated, because
no, I don't know. What if they're coming from a place that they, I mean, you can't deny the fact that we do live on a planet and it's the law of the jungle. Even if you have laws, people still get raped. There's laws all the time.
Right.
But when you see someone wearing skimpy clothes, mm-hmm. okay, it is almost like what I say, a bunny rabbit mm-hmm. being dropped into a wolf pen.
Right.
Even though you have all these laws and we're quote civilized people, it doesn't negate the fact that there are still wolves out there that will eat you and right. attack you. So when they see you with pictures of your nipple clamps or a ball gag or a leash, in their reality, they're viewing you as
tempting,
maybe naive to think that these people don't exist and they want to harm you.
I guess.
So it's not that they're wrong. It's just that's their reality.
Yeah. And that's all their mind goes to, for sure. I think that what we're really getting into trouble is that evolves from stigma and stereotyping and lack of education of awareness, snap judgments into slut shaming, victim mm-hmm. blaming. And these are things that we need to avoid, because I should be able to, I mean, obviously it's illegal, but if it was legal, I should be able to walk down the street buck naked with dicks drawn all over my body and just go to the grocery store if that's how I feel like. I mean, obviously indecent exposure laws wouldn't allow for that, but I live in a town where I just posted the other day, the first time I wore a crop top, and I live in a town where if I go to the grocery store in a crop top, I get glares like you would not believe. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm covering my body. I'm dressing as I'm comfortable dressing. But that's just the judgment that's still out there. So to me, I don't let other people's judgments guide me. And I know that when it comes to any sexual act, I'm never asking for it. When I got raped, I was not asking for it. I still should have been able to stop it in that situation.
Their reality is, if you wear clothes like that, you are asking for it. And so that's where we talk about, you know, you're blaming the victim. Well, in their reality, yeah, because if you did not want to get raped, you shouldn't have been putting your titties in someone's face, because they're a wolf and it's like dangling meat in front of a stupid wolf. So that's where it's a gray area, to where I know we're in 2019 and everybody wants to say, well, if I want to wear or do what I want to do, I can do it because it's my choice. And it shouldn't be my fault that you're a man that wants to have sex with me. I should be able to do what I want. Yet we do live in the jungle. I just think with the internet and everything else, we've gotten desensitized to there are still wolves out there that want to harm you.
Well, my feeling about it is if I'm asking for it, if I actually say and ask for it with words, then that's when I'm asking for it, and in no other case.
Yeah.
I completely agree with what you're saying. Like, there is no way that you're asking for it unless you're literally asking for
it. You aren't asking. I'm not saying you're asking for it.
I know.
You may be viewing it as you only ask for it when you verbally ask for
mm-hmm.
it. But in this wolf's reality, mm-hmm. when you're wearing the clothes that you're wearing and right. doing the things that you're doing and portraying yourself in a certain way, in this person's reality,
mm-hmm.
that's their version of you asking for
it. Well, I'm aware that there are people that don't have guidelines, or that don't have a filter, or what am I thinking of? Like, they don't have manners or respect or understanding, or that, you know, that would
self-control.
But, well, even like mentally, some people aren't mentally, like, we have a friend that had a scenario this last week. Someone exposed themselves to her just because she was friendly to him. That is not the norm, obviously. But I'm aware that those kind of people exist.
All right, let me ask both of you this, because you're both females. How many times have you noticed that if you're nice to a guy, the guy automatically thinks that you want to fuck him?
It does happen. It's not that common, but like certainly ever since I've like put myself out there, right? Like, I've got social media, I'm public on it with my show and everything. I get some just people that don't listen and just come across my page and maybe like read too much into me liking a comment, and then they'll send me a message that's inappropriate. So that does happen, but that's not my fault. That's their fault. But then it becomes my responsibility, right, to set it straight. And so I do. And that's just kind of, I think, how I deal with that, is just a preparedness of knowing it will come my way, because it comes every woman's way, I think, regardless of what they wear. But certainly in my situation, where I have boudoir photos and I'm very sexually empowered, and there's that energy around me for sure. So it's never gonna not come my way. But I have to be able to deal with it. And it's not my fault per se. It's that person's fault for making assumptions and maybe getting inappropriate. But then I deal with it. And I've gotten better dealing with it. If I can redirect them, I will. And like I would say, 90% of the time, I can redirect a person who's gotten off track in that situation. But in the 10% that I can't, they're just obviously a person I don't want following my page anyway. So now they've just done me a favor. They've just done me a favor. So I just block them, get them the hell out of there.
Yeah, but it's a problem in reality when you can't block someone when they're actually, they know where you live or you work. So there are creepers out there. I think this would be another great podcast, is sexual empowerment and the consequences of.
Sure, absolutely. And I've been stalked before, actually years ago, by ex-boyfriends. Well, no, one guy I didn't date at all. He got a little crazy. But that, I mean, that does happen. You know, people will get obsessive for sure. And
we have a guy,
and that's
this
why
weekend.
I have a ton of rules.
I don't know. I'm sitting here just kind of like thinking and listening and trying to like put myself like to like be real with myself about it, because I know like the way that I was raised. I mean, I have always had the mindset that I was, you know, that someone was going to hurt me or attack me or rape me or whatever. I'm a girl, you know.
You're definitely going to get sex.
You know, back. And so like, and then, and, right. And so like, and then coming out the way that we have and being vocal about our lives and our sexuality and just, you know, like you were saying, if you want to wear a crop top, you should be able to wear a crop top, you know, and you should be able to feel pretty and feminine and sexy and be yourself. Because, and then I don't want to like, because you can get raped or sex trafficked or stolen or hurt or whatever wearing, you know, a turtleneck. So, I mean, and that's been my argument for a while. Shame on the person that blamed me for getting raped because of my outfit. But I just chalk it up to, I always, no matter what I'm wearing, no matter where I'm at, I'm always aware of creepers. I try my very best to be, because if someone's going to take it to that level of hurting you or stalking you or whatever, it's not going to really matter what you're wearing. You know,
I think all right, that doesn't make any sense. No, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire with
this. Do it.
Because the times when we go places or you're without me, mm-hmm. and you say, I just want to wear my big baggy jeans or a sweatshirt so I don't get looked at or touched.
Correct.
Stop right there with mm-hmm. that statement alone.
Right.
That tells me that men view you in a different way when you wear different clothes.
No.
Now, it's not your fault that they do this, but it becomes your problem.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Okay. So we have a cognitive dissonance here.
No.
Well, I'm sexually empowered, yada, 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 but these creepy ass raper dudes here want to come and touch me just because they're creepy.
No, I think that when you wear bigger, baggier clothes covering your body more, you probably do fall, you know, under the radar. You're not as noticed, right? Those guys are there anyway, though. And if you have to kind of hide or disguise from people that are going to try to attack you or follow you or rape you or whatever because they're attracted to you in whatever way, yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I do think that, you know, if you walk around a big city in, you know, lingerie or something, you're going to be seen.
You have a higher risk.
Yeah, you are. Maybe you could be viewed as a target, but like, I don't know. Like, I don't.
Now, is that your fault? It doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. This is irrelevant whether that's your fault. You can wear whatever the hell you want to, but you have to realize there could be consequences to what you wear.
But
just like there's free speech. You can say whatever you want. You can cuss your boss out, but guess what? You may get fired for it.
The people get hurt. Like, and I don't know. Like, so I guess I'm getting a little confused in the conversation, because I know people do get hurt really bad when they're not wearing sexy, pretty clothes. So
I'm not saying that happened because
you're wearing that.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying you have a higher risk. And you, by you telling me I want to wear a baggy sweatshirt and my mom jeans to go to Walmart,
right.
Okay, to get groceries.
Sure.
That alone tells me that if you were to wear a sexy dress,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're reporting from your reality that you get gawked at way more.
Right.
And it makes you easy, and people try to touch you.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter whether there's a law or you're not supposed to, or you're empowered or whatever, insert whatever. None of that shit matters. Mm-hmm. The fact of life
it's
is
a wardrobe seatbelt.
A wardrobe seatbelt.
Yep. Safety first. Sometimes it really is.
If I'm going to have a chance.
Yeah,
I take days off too, where I'm just like, I'm gonna wear my baggy sweater today, and I'm gonna wear my baseball cap and my sunglasses and no makeup, and nobody's gonna bother me. Yeah, I do take days off for sure.
Especially if I'm out of town, like without you, because like, you know, I'm definitely not trying to. I would like to just be able to go unseen, just because I don't know. I think it's that, but it's like, I don't know. Maybe mentally, like from such a young age, I was just like I was raised by people on high alert. You know what I'm saying? So like I have that high alert mentality anyway. So like, it took me years to be able to be comfortable in like a, you know, super skimpy bikini.
Something I've noticed is the higher religiosity in a place, it seems to be the higher the creeper.
Mm-hmm. Could be possible.
Yeah, because there's
if we go to New Orleans, we go to Austin, we go to California, anywhere that's a big metropolitan area, it's not that big of a deal. If the town we live in so small, she goes to Walmart or something, it's you better wear mom jeans and and a sweatshirt. It's kind of creepy.
I felt differently. Like, it was one of the reasons why I shaved my head, too, was because I hid behind my hair. I know this is not quite what we're talking about, but, like, as far as being exposed or not exposed or being able to go unnoticed or whatever, like, for me, having had so much hair, it was, you know, it did. It covered me. And I was, like I just said, like, to be able to be comfortable wearing something low cut or something very short or flowy or a two-piece or whatever, I mean, that took training, mental training for me to be able to be, like, you should feel good about yourself. You should be supportive of your body and feel, you know, and be you.
Oh, yeah. It was a huge shift for me to like transition into being comfortable wearing something low cut. Because what I thought was low cut at first, I learned pretty quickly on, like going out with friends, was like pretty high cut actually compared right. to what other people were wearing. And now I'm very comfortable in my own skin. And I really, truly enjoy dressing provocatively. That is definitely an element of my personality. But I've had to learn as a single person that I have to contend with that on my own. And I do more often than not have to contend with it, with the attention, sometimes unwanted attention, a lot of the times, not all the time, but sometimes unwanted. And it's sometimes it gets uncomfortable. So I've had to really learn that with that comes that. So I have to be prepared for it. Is it my fault? No, but I'm the one that's left to deal with it. So I do.
Right.
It's the you wear those things to gather not just the attention, but the desire of someone that you desire. So you're like what you said, when you wear that, you may get the attention of someone you don't want the attention from.
Yeah. And it's not for me as much of an end result. When I first started getting into exhibitions and learning about exhibitionism and voyeurism, I'm more kind of a voyeur when it comes to watching sex, but my form of exhibitionism is to display my sexually empowered body. Maybe it's a provocative outfit. Maybe it's my boudoir photos. And it's kind of not specifically focused on one end result in one person as much as it is. It's just, that's kind of my form of exhibitionism. I just enjoy the experience of wearing my sexual freedom hat around, walking around, sort of thing.
Yeah, see, Jansen's like that too. She likes to be watched if she's having sex. But as far as like her going through a restaurant or a shopping center, no.
Don't make eye contact with me. Don't make eye contact with me.
So that's very interesting.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sitting here listening because this is weird what I'm thinking, how I'm feeling right now, because I think like the overwhelming majority of the time now that we're sitting here like dissecting it, like the only time that I actually do dress sexy or revealing or anything like that is when you are with me. I think really like the majority of the time I don't think I do that very much. I dress more. If I'm going to do it, it's something that I feel like artistic about. You know what I mean? Like it's the outfit is expressing how I'm feeling that day or I've seen it. I'm like, oh, look at the colors of that. Or, ooh, look the way that cut is or the fit. That's just cool to me. Or it's inspirational to me. Like,
so it goes with the theme of what you're doing at the moment?
Yeah, or so how
you're
I'm shopping, feeling.
You're not going to wear a G-string.
One day I could have on, you know, your t-shirt and a pair of overalls and be like, look how creative this awesome outfit is. You know, and you're like, ugh, that's super bad. It looks like you've been working the outfit all day. And then
I love that outfit. I remember that picture. I loved it.
Yeah. So there's, you know, you never know really kind of like where it's going to be, but I don't know if I feel very comfortable with dressing a way that does get attention unless I'm in one of our safe places, which is like one of the sex clubs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because in those places, being sexy or dressing sexy is so accepted and so embraced. And then when I'm there, like whether it's a resort or like you said, a place where people understand what you're doing.
A safe place instead of an unsafe place.
Yeah, that's a total different mindset for me. Then I'm like, then no clothes is fine with me. I'll walk to that place completely naked.
This is what I was saying about the people that view like BDSM pictures or boudoir pictures as rape. Mm-hmm. Promotion, because right. if you're going to do it, I don't know how the hell they would see it, but if you're going to do what you're doing mm-hmm. in a sex club or a resort or at the beach and you're half naked or something like that, it's primed and it makes sense where you're at, right? But if you were a substitute teacher,
right,
you wouldn't wear the things that you're talking about
right.
in class.
and
when you wear those things to the supermarket or something, I think that's the gray area that people see that you're asking for it
right.
because you're dressing like you're in a sex club. While you're
well, that's their mentality
the
too. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And some people, well, it's not my fucking fault that these people look at me like that because I'm wearing what I want to wear and I'm being me. Yes,
yeah,
you are.
Yeah.
But it's also, like I said, we live in a weird friggin' world that it happens that way.
Right.
You know?
It is a strange world, isn't it? Yeah. And I mean, what if you're on your way to the sex club and you're just stopping by the grocery store?
I needed grapes and sunscreen for the sex club.
Just be
grape
safe.
Lube.
Some lube.
Be self-aware, people. Please don't get raped.
Please.
It'll break my heart.
Yes, yeah. Always be safe. Always make sure you're not putting yourself in situations where you could be, for sure. Like, and as a single person, I have to be cognizant of that, especially if I go to a party and I have my friends there that I know that will have my back and that I check in with, and they know where I'm going, and I know who I'm with. It's not never my fault if something happens to me, but being safe it's important. You have to take responsibility of making sure that you protect yourself.
Yeah, it's almost like you going to a party and you saying something to the effect of, I'm being me, and it's not my fault that someone may try to roofie my drink. They shouldn't do that. Plus, it's against the law. So you just leave your drink unattended. Sure, you're allowed to do that, but the consequences of you doing that could be problematic for you.
Yeah. So still not your fault.
No, it's like, could become right. Your problem.
It's like defensive driving, right? Even if the accident's not your fault, it's always good to be a defensive driver to help prevent the accident in the first place.
Yeah. So next time you guys are out there substitute teaching, don't wear your BDSM collar.
Offer teacher. Thank you guys, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Jansen and Chris. I love our amazing conversations, and I just know everyone's going to love us coming together with it.
Yeah, no problem. We enjoyed having it, too. We love to unpack boxes and try to view the road less traveled.
Yeah, full circle, random conversation. I love it.
Did you like today's episode? Rate, review, and subscribe. Make sure you check out my website left in the show details with Pollyanna.com for everything Pollyanna all the time. Want to support what I'm doing and become part of the inner circle? Visit patreon.com/withPollyanna and become a patron. As always, be good to yourself and be good to others. Laters. If you ask, I can share my everything except for where my past been. Passion was less than passive on the path in. Now it's all an act in a bad scene. Jazz swing them hips over here. All the ladies be like, hey. All the fellas be like, all contrary. I'm a different kind of rare. How to find, how to keep, impossible to compare.